We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful New York City, the one, the only, the man who unfortunately has the Twitter password, Dan Rubenstein. So how are you?
I'm pretty good. I am preparing for Solo Dad Saturday, a.k.a. Sleepless Saturday, a.k.a. what we're about to find out your pitch is, and then I will give you my pitch Saturday. But otherwise, Ty, no complaints. Life is all right.
It is week 11. Welcome back to the show. Can't believe we're already here in November. Novembert. Tyvember, whatever you'd like to call it. We're aboard. You know.
All those people clamoring for the month being called Tyvember.
Subscribe to the show out on our website at solidverbal.com. You can find all the icons there or wherever you get your podcasts. So if it's Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Pocket Casts, Himalaya, you name it, wherever you may be.
Ooh, Himalaya.
Subscribe to the show. Or the
Is that a good app, Himalaya?
I'm checking it out.
Have you used it? Okay, we'll report back.
Don't forget, you can also follow us out there on all the social channels at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There's also a subreddit at reddit.com/r/solidverbal. I have been made aware of this in recent months. That is actually just solidverbal.reddit.com. So one of two ways that you can get there. And last but certainly not least, if you want to call in on this coming Saturday, on this coming Friday, as you're watching college football games, you can do so one of two ways, either 408-VERBAL-1, which is 408-837-2251, or you can use the little voice recorder, the app that every phone has nowadays.
Yep.
Make a recording, a concise recording. I plead with you, a concise recording, and then send it to us via email at thereverbline@gmail.com. That's thereverbline, all one word, @gmail.com. We got a couple last week. See if we can get a couple more in week 11, Dan.
And if you want to contact Ty directly, 610-2... Can I keep going? No? Okay, sorry.
Scoundrel. So what is your pitch for week 11? Okay. Because there are some big games this week.
Yeah, there are some big games. This is where, for a lot of teams, it's not necessarily season defining, I would say. I think there are some bigger matchups. Certainly, it's the biggest one in the SEC this season. But it's not necessarily season lifetime defining. Penn State, Minnesota, you know, Minnesota can still have a good season if they don't take down the Nittany Lions at home. And same for Penn State. They can still have a successful one there. Same for Baylor or Wisconsin against Iowa. Oklahoma, Iowa State's been a thorn. But it is where the rubber meets the road. There is something about the ball not lying. And initially my mind went to SAT Saturday. A significant test?
It's not bad. That is not bad.
But not end all be all. But SAT Saturday, because Saturday starts with SAT, it was too mushy for me. And so I'm going with something that is a little bit more fun to say, flows a little bit better, where it's a significant test, results don't lie, everything's, you know, you win, you lose, especially looking at you, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech. I have it Scantron Saturday.
That is not bad.
Scantron Saturday.
Especially with it being voting day this past week.
It's voting week, and you fill in. You either get it right or you get it wrong. And I don't think there's much room for error.
That is very good.
Thank you very much.
Very good. I am partial to Scantron Saturday. My suggestion was going to be, because it's a striking week, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's got a lot of bark.
What maybe do you mean, not striking week.
Striking. You just look at the slate before us, and it's that's striking.
Okay.
There's some striking matchups.
I thought there was a union reference of some kind.
No. Okay. Nothing like that. But striking
week. Shout out to the Chicago teachers, by the way. Hell yeah.
It looks like it's got a lot of bark. Maybe not a lot of bite. It's very family friendly if you look at when these games are being played. I'm a little partial to my puppy. I was going to say Samoyed Saturday.
Ty, people don't even know how to spell that. This is about branding.
I had a winner last week. It's tough to top what I had.
That's true. Okay, welcome to Scantron Saturday. Number two pencils only.
Yes.
And keep your eyes on your own paper. And, you know, you've been prepping. All these teams have been prepping for months for this, so you've had time to get ready for these big matchups. Now, sit at your desk, and it's also kind of collegiate, right? Mm-hmm. Scantrons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to Scantron Saturday.
Welcome to Scantron Saturday. But before we get there, I'm not going to yell the breaking news. My voice is already on its last legs. It's week 11.
Doot.
Trying to suckle down some of that wild sweet orange tea,
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of honey, keep things going here.
Nice. Good for you.
Playoff rankings. We had the first playoff rankings that were released. We did not have a chance to talk about them because, like all big things in the podcast world, it happens seemingly right after we hit stop.
Correct. Sort of. Right. Wasn't it last night, Tuesday night? We record. Let's peel back this onion. We record the Twos Crews on Mondays.
We do.
It's up at 6 a.m. on Tuesdays. I don't think we're pulling one over anybody.
We set sail early Tuesday morning.
That's true.
Here's your first four. We've got Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, and Penn State 4. So two Big Ten teams, two SEC teams. You know, these are like deck chairs in the Titanic at this point. They're going to get all sorts of boggled around by the time we get to the end of the season. Certainly some teams in that top four are going to lose. We know at least two of them will between now and the end of the football season. To round out the top 10, though, we have Clemson at 5, Georgia at 6, Oregon, your Oregon Ducks, defending Red Box Bowl champion, Oregon
Ducks.
Where's
my hat? Yep.
At number 7, followed by Utah, followed by Oklahoma, and followed by Florida. Any surprises?
You think Penn State's the fourth best team in the country? It's okay if you do.
I can't make a case against it. At this point, I don't know if I believe it in my bones at this point, but I certainly understand why the committee would go there because their strength of resume so far has been really, really formidable.
Yeah. The Michigan win is obviously doing the work here because that's what separates them from Clemson. Through no full fault of Clemson's own, their best win is A&M.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand it. I don't know if you have your spreadsheet, your mock-up line of like what a Penn State Clemson matchup would look like on a neutral field. But
I could figure it out. Yeah.
Even with this year's results and not looking at last year, not looking at talent level in general, I think I have Clemson ahead of Penn State in my mind right now.
Neutral field, Clemson by about 10.
Yeah. So once you get into that double digit area, and I understand the Michigan win it looks more impressive than ever. They held on to beat the Wolverines. But otherwise, it's been, the Iowa win is, I think, pretty good. They held on. They held Iowa without out of the end zone, right, for 3.5 quarters?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, or at least maybe even more than 3.5. So, I can't really hold that much against Penn State. It's just more of an eye test thing, and that's harder to quantify. So, I guess I'm okay with Penn State at 4. It's the first release of the playoff rankings. To me, Clemson's higher quality right now. But if Penn State blows the doors off of Minnesota, I think that's a pretty emphatic Scantron Saturday for them.
Clemson's likely going to move into the top four next week after the LSU-Bama game, depending on how that game goes. But I would say I have a pretty high level of confidence that Clemson will be in the top four next week. Georgia's probably blocked by the loser of that LSU-Bama game, at least for the time being. Your Oregon Ducks are uniquely positioned. If they can run the table, if they can beat Utah, whoever, in the Pac-12 game,
they're top 10 playoff team.
Correct. They are uniquely positioned here to maybe throw their hat in the ring. Oklahoma, all the way down at 9, really needs a K-State win over Texas this week.
Yes, they
really
do.
Need that. The way I see it, about 9 teams have a real shot at this.
Yeah, the thing going against Oregon right now is probably what's out of their control, and that the Arizona schools and Oregon State are not going to come across. They have a bye week this week as crazy impressive to finish out the year, whereas Alabama from this point forward can beat LSU and Auburn. LSU can beat A&M and Alabama. Ohio State has Penn State and, you know, whoever comes out of the Big Ten West, it looks like Minnesota. So they'll have more quality wins. Clemson is going to struggle in that department. And Georgia can lay low, but yeah, they're blocked for the time being. And I still think they have a pretty good shot here after their win against Florida. So yeah, Utah's lurking as well, and they could have a really impressive win over Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. And yeah, Oklahoma needs help. And beyond that, I don't think we're talking about playoff caliber teams.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think there's a line, and Auburn has a playoff caliber defense. I just, there's too many flaws beyond that line to me.
All right, Dan.
Dan, time. Help. I need pixels.
It is Scantron Saturday. Get those number 2 pencils ready.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in your dots. Make sure you fill them in completely so the Scantron does not get confused. This is all very important information.
Yeah, it's true. And if you're going to a race, be thorough. What do they recommend? Whiteout?
Whiteout?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if they recommend whiteout.
I know you just have to really, really thoroughly go for it, right? You can't be hazy with your erasers.
No, you really gotta go for it.
Which is a good life lesson to me. Don't be hazy with your erasing. Scantron Saturday week, what are we, 12? 11?
11. Come
11.
On.
I don't know. Ty, I got very little sleep last
All right,
night.
Well, let's do this.
Let's do it.
This may be the easiest window of opportunity that we've had.
I need to know this because it's childcare Saturday exclusive.
Single dad Saturday, excuse me.
Yeah, solo dad.
Solo dad Saturday, not single dad. Different thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. It's a family-friendly Saturday. I look at the slate before us here. There are a couple notable night games. I guess Iowa State-Oklahoma could be fun. It's been fun past. I guess Missouri-Georgia has some intrigue for us here, at least as a podcast goes, because we've been talking it up for months on end. And
Notre Dame, dude.
Yeah, even App State-South Carolina. Some intrigue there. Lower point spread than maybe people might expect. But I think the bulk of your big games are in the early half of the day before dinner on the East Coast and much earlier
on the
West
Coast. It doesn't help me much.
Well,
little
ones
awake
then. For
people that
aren't named Dan Rubenstein, I think your window of opportunity is some time after LSU-Bama. Go out and have a date night.
Yeah. Actually, it works out well for, I'm going to be selfish here and talk about me some more. It works out. This is when I have to study and watch everything I didn't see. Normally I'm able to get up early on Sunday mornings before the podcast and catch up on everything I need to before we record. So it'll just be more of a late night. So I'm glad that the action isn't always pertinent across the board during prime time and late night. So that's good.
Let's start at high noon. It is on ABC. It is the Penn State Nittany Lions. Again, number 4 in the first college football playoff rankings this season.
Mm-hmm.
On the road at the Minnesota Golden Gophers. This point spread is at around 6.5-7 points, depending where you look. Of note here is that PJ Fleck got a new 7-year deal just in time for this game, Dan.
About 33 mil, I saw. I don't know how the structure works out and how incentives work into that, but yes, he did. He started out really well. There's sure to be interest in PJ Fleck as jobs open up, his enthusiasm, his passion. We'll see if there is more to PJ Fleck than just enthusiasm and passion against some of the lower teams in the Big Ten as the schedule gets harder. But it was good for Fleck and the Fleck family. The Fleck
that is correct.
Yeah.
And to his credit, There's a lot to like about Minnesota this year. They might not be the flashiest team, but thus far, they've been crazy efficient on both sides of the football. And certainly in terms of raw atmospherics, they work to Minnesota's advantage here. They're at home. It's an earlier game, so it's a body clock situation.
Yeah.
People are going to be fired up for this.
I'd be glad if I were a Penn State fan that it's an 11 a.m. kick, actually, rather than a, you know, local 6 p.m. prime time, whole place has been drinking all day, juiced for the big event kind of thing.
My problem is the matchup.
Yeah.
The matchup is what bothers me, because for starters, you look at Minnesota's resume, you could make a case, and I'm not making it, but I'm saying hypothetically, somebody out there.
Do you want me to make a case?
You could make a case that their best win is over South Dakota State.
Whoa, to all the haters who said that Minnesota couldn't take down the Jackrabbits, scoreboard.
They're number four in the FCS.
Correct.
You could make that case. I'm not making it here, but you could if you really tried.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they've gotten better as the season's gone on. So it's not advisable to take them lightly. There's just some degree of credibility missing from their resume. And frankly, that's why they're 8-0 and ranked number 17 in the first set of rankings. Is that all fair?
Yeah. And I left out Minnesota in talking about, you know, tiers of playoff caliber teams. Minnesota wins all of their games. It can be in the playoff. I would be surprised, but pleasantly surprised. Walk me through all of the Big Ten starting quarterbacks Minnesota has faced this year, because it's none of them. Because it's Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland, all, I believe, started backup quarterbacks against Minnesota. Gophers' fault? Absolutely not. Proper Gopher data? Not necessarily. That's all the point is behind that sort of snarky comment. They'll be playing Penn State's starting quarterback. They'll be playing a Penn State offense that generally relies on explosion, bigger plays, whether it's KJ Hamler, Pat Freiermuth. Do they call him Baby Gronk? Is that a thing there?
I've seen it, yes.
Most good tight ends are now known as Baby Gronk for whatever reason.
That is correct.
So it's hard to fully know what we have in Minnesota. They started the season off slowly in terms of separating themselves from teams. They've taken care of business. The Purdue game wasn't great for them, especially on defense, but you take care of business, you win your clunkers, you're formidable. And so as it relates to Penn State, I think the Nittany Lions have an edge. I think part of it is special teams. I think in order to beat Penn State, you have to do it repeatedly, putting together drives down the field, which will become increasingly difficult over the course of the game. I like Minnesota's offense, but this is a couple of tiers up from what they've seen. I like the early kick time for Penn State. I think it's back and forth for a bit, but ultimately it's the big plays from Penn State and just the overall talent level of the backups, the threes, whatever, that they have to see action throughout a game. I have it 31-20 Penn State.
Interesting. I've got it at 31-17 Penn State.
Okay, so we agree.
Three things that jump out at me, and you're all right. Everything you said is all right in my book. Penn State plays the run really well, and that poses a challenge for a Minnesota team that has relied on the run to a great degree this year.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Minnesota has a hard time keeping Tanner Morgan upright when they do have to pass.
I think they've been more successful passing it, Minnesota, than running it. Even though there's some big numbers, I think they've been a better passing team.
In terms of efficiency, yes.
Okay.
But they've had plenty of games where they've relied on that rushing attack as well.
Correct. Yes.
So it's not to say that they're a one-trick pony, but I could see them trying to utilize that run game to open things up, maybe try to throw it downfield. I just don't think they're going to have much success doing that. And I worry for Tanner Morgan because this line has not been great at keeping him upright.
True.
And we know it's a Penn State line that's got a lot of bite to it. So that's number two. And the third thing is, I don't know if you saw, but James Franklin essentially made it Facebook official, naming Noah Kane his number one running back.
Is that a real, real thing?
It is a real, real thing now.
It won't change next week?
It could change next week, but at least for this week, he's number one on the depth chart.
That's good to see, because that's actually been a place where Penn State has struggled. If they need a 4-minute drive and to really grind it out on the ground, it hasn't always been there.
So I'm hoping now that they've kind of made this commitment that it means more work for Noah Kane. And if it does, it could be a big game for him on the ground. I see that in his near future. I like Penn State pretty comfortably, 31-17. Could see it being close for a half,
Okay.
But I'm with you. I think Penn State's a couple rungs better than Minnesota at this point. If I put my personal biases aside, would love to see it. Be an awesome story if Minnesota could pull the upset here at home. And
what does that look like? What does that Minnesota upset look like? How do you beat Penn State if you are Minnesota with their talent, their strengths on defense and offense?
They've got to figure out some way to rattle Sean Clifford.
Okay.
They got to stop the run and rattle Sean Clifford and hope that their offense can win the battle of field position, control the clock, and I think keep it relatively low scoring. I don't think they can outscore Penn State.
Well, you're going to need to if you want to win.
Well,
I know what you're saying.
Not in a shootout.
Right. So it would be like a 20-17 win.
Yeah.
For Minnesota, if they're able to pull it off, get a couple big plays from their big play receivers against a pretty good Penn State secondary.
We agree!
We agree!
Moving on, next. Also, at high noon on FS1, we've got the Baylor Bears on the road at TCU. Okay.
The rivalry, as they say.
Yeah. 2.5 points. I hate this game so much.
Why?
Man. I hate
I've
it.
Heard great things about Fort Worth. We had an undefeated Baylor coming in. There's no love lost between these two teams. You got to throw out the records in the rivalry. Come on.
I get in a rivalry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been high on Baylor all preseason, all regular season. I think this is a really good football team. They've consistently gotten more consistent under Matt Rhule.
Sure.
That's a thing.
Okay.
So good for them. In terms of efficiency, the defense has been better than the offense, which we're not really used to saying about Baylor, but okay. I like Charlie Brewer. I like the skill talent a lot. Not crazy about their line play, but you get my point. I like mm-hmm. Baylor a great deal here. I like so much about Baylor, yet I still feel like TCU is going to win the game, and I don't know how to emotionally deal with that.
What? Why? How? Score. Walk me through.
Baylor's got Oklahoma and Texas in the next 2 weeks of the season.
You think they're looking past the Frogs?
I think there's a potential here for a look-ahead
spot.
No.
Get out of town.
I think there's potential for a look-ahead spot.
No way. This is a matchup that has a lot of teeth to it, Ty.
Is it or is it not TCU's spot, their brand, to completely muck up the Big 12 race here?
Oh, it for sure is. Here's my general concern about the Frogs right now. They might not have a quarterback. Max Duggan hurt the middle finger on his throwing hand.
As one does, yep.
Which, if he plays, that's probably not the best way to throw a football with 20% of the necessary digits being broken. And you say to yourself, well, there's other quarterbacks on the TCU roster. You look at, and I think it was the Reddit CFB subreddit, the college football subreddit on Reddit. They went through the quarterback room for TCU, and it's like, next guy, transferred. Next guy, Ricketts. Next guy. Next guy, undisclosed STD. Next guy, transfer portal. And then it's like all the way down to possible walk-on if he gets the grades or something. Like, it's not great. So when a position like quarterback is hanging in the balance to that degree, I'm happy to just go with the other team that happens to have a snow advisory defense.
Hold on then. I'll play the snow advisory. But why is the line only 2.5 in favor of Baylor?
I mean, it's at TCU. TCU has, they have good players. Their defense is fine. They're in games. They got blown out by, Iowa State? And otherwise, they've been competitive. So, they're coached well. They gave up a ton on the ground last week, which wasn't great. I have Baylor 23-14. I think the Bears get a couple big plays through the air. TCU has won 4 straight in this. Last year, they beat them by a touchdown in Waco. So I get your concern. But no, the Ricketts factor of the TCU quarterback room
I am
is too
so
worrisome.
Emotionally, mentally conflicted here. You know my stance on TCU.
One night stand. Come on.
You know my stance on TCU. You know where I stand on Baylor. I do like the snow advisor,
this
by the way.
Cover coming up from Waco.
Game's in Fort Worth, but all the same.
Game is in Fort Worth. I think Baylor's the better team. I have all year. I'm going to stick with it. I think it's 24-21 Baylor wins, but it's close.
Okay. So you have Baylor sneaking out the cover?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
I do. Maybe a little bit of a front door cover here.
Nope, you just scared some dogs.
Sorry.
A lot of Samoyeds out there.
Let's go to the big tamale, Dan. 3:30.
You couldn't even raise your voice for that one?
3:30. Yeah. CBS.
NPR.
LSU at Alabama, the Crimson Tide. A 6.5-point home favorite. Is this one game of the century? Has it achieved game of the century labeling yet?
It's the biggest LSU-Alabama matchup since 2011. We probably say that most years, but
yeah,
it feels true enough this year. Two playoff teams playing.
Number two versus number three, if you want to get technical about it, talking about the college football playoff rankings, Dan.
Yeah.
Big matchup here. Alabama's won the last eight,
mm-hmm.
which is wild. The last eight have gone to Alabama. They've had a dominant run, obviously not just in this game, but throughout all of college football. What's meaningful to me, though, is that for the first time in what feels like forever, maybe all the way back to 2011, I had a hard time picking a winner here.
Okay.
And I know there are no moral victories, and it's football and man ball and sports ball and whatever else, but that in and of itself stands for something in my book, because for as long as I can remember now, Bama has been so dominant. I don't remember having that dilemma before me when looking at this game. And I think college football is more interesting when this game's interesting. So I'm excited just...
I mean, this game's always interesting.
It's always interesting, but...
in the modern era, yeah.
I just haven't felt in so long like this was a close, almost coin flippy kind of game. And that's meaningful to me as a college football fan. I like that.
LSU is averaging 3.3 points these last 3 years in this matchup.
Oof.
Over under LSU scoring more than 3 points.
I'll go over. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that only three times in the last 15 meetings has the winning team scored 30 or more points in this matchup?
I didn't know that exact stat, but yes, I do know that it's been relatively low scoring.
Where do you come down here?
So, first off, you didn't mention Tua's right ankle.
I did not. I was building to that, Dan, but continue.
Okay. Well, you asked me a question. So Tua had a procedure. He, I believe, had the tightrope procedure, the tightrope system anchoring, and I looked this up, obviously, the tibia and fibula together with a braided polyethylene cord tie to help stimulate recovery.
Okay. That sounds awkward.
Yeah. Well, so that brings up a question to me. Is a hobbled Tua Tagovailoa better than a healthy Bo Nix?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Okay. I'm just asking the question because LSU took on an Auburn team with an excellent defense and an offense that was pretty inconsistent that day. And it was close. It was tight. And so if Tua isn't as good as a healthy Bo Nix, and Tua certainly is not as good as Mac Jones if he can't move, it's a problem. It's a definite problem. So how I come down in this game is the worries are obviously Tua's ankle and to a lesser degree, Bama's rush defense. I think they're a good enough big game team. LSU has a very efficient ground attack. We've seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire really thrive this season. He's patient. He hits the lane really hard. So he's been a pleasure to watch. And on the other side, LSU's pass rush. I think there's just generally an assumption that LSU, with how well they recruit, especially on defense and the speed on defense, that they just get after everybody. They haven't been really getting home this season.
No.
They haven't been getting to quarterbacks. They haven't been putting a ton of pressure, at least relative to where they've been in previous years. And even stopping the ground game of teams. You've been able to run. We saw some big runs from Florida, from Auburn, not all game long, but we saw some cracks in this LSU rush defense that certainly Alabama can exploit. LSU certainly is built to beat Alabama. I still like Alabama's secondary a good deal. LSU is going to, we've talked about this, this is a broken record. The fearlessness, the talent at receiver, the size at receiver for LSU, all of that is there. But. And I did see, I don't know if you saw that, Joe Burrow played in this game last year with a separated shoulder.
I saw that, yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, so that at least is further context, perhaps, for why LSU struggled. But they were not the offense that they are this year, last year. I have it 30-17, Bama.
Wow, that's a pretty big margin.
I'm gambling on Tua being passably healthy. But I think it's in Tuscaloosa under those weird, stupid lights that they have in that stadium now. I don't like them. Sorry. I'm not a fun police officer, but it's not my favorite. And I just think those receivers for Alabama going against the secondary at LSU, who's so good. There's so much talent in that secondary. But over the course of four quarters, I'm a little bit worried about this LSU offense against Alabama's defense, comparable to Auburn's defense. I don't think Alabama has quite the talent they did last year. Quinnen Williams did so much to disrupt LSU last year, and they don't have a Quinnen Williams up front this year, Alabama. But over those four quarters, I think Alabama and that speed and at least a 75% Tua. This is my pick is built around a 75% healthy Tua, because you got to pick a percentage if you're going to preview this game and make a, you know, plant your flag. 30-17 Bama. So I do think they get to 30 exactly.
My pick is also contingent on a 75-80% Tua.
Okay.
I think we're looking at a fun 35-31 game.
Okay. So shootout by relative terms for this matchup.
Correct. I want to see if Bama can run against LSU, because if they can, if they can establish Najee Harris, that makes their four-headed receiver monster even more dangerous.
Yeah.
And
LSU's got a three-headed receiver monster.
They do.
To be fair. Yeah.
They do, but I'm really excited about those Bama receivers this year. I don't know how you cover all four of them.
Okay.
I've got Alabama winning 35-31, but I'm taking points here.
Can I ask you a follow-up?
Please.
So you're taking points because the spread is about a touchdown.
Yeah.
If Tua starts, rolls out, rolls his ankle, which I 100% don't want to happen, it's like, well, it's Mac Jones time. How does that alter your prediction? Receivers are still there. Defense is still there. Najee Harris is still there. How does a Mac Jones let out? How does the Mac Jones show alter your prediction? Is it automatic LSU?
It's not automatic.
Okay.
It's not automatic, because if Nick Saban's proven anything, it's that he can adjust.
Yeah.
And he's adjusted to coaching staffs turning over year after year.
Mm-hmm.
He's adjusted to a lot in his tenure at Alabama. So I don't think it necessarily means instant death for Alabama, but it definitely means a more conservative game plan. And certainly in that instance, the ability to establish Najee Harris or some sort of rushing attack would be key.
Yeah, I have 27-24 LSU in that situation. I think they edge them.
I tell you what the move would be, actually.
Okay.
The move would be, if Alabama goes up early, if you got some sort of live betting app,
mm-hmm.
jump on LSU and maybe go counter to our to a 75% little contingency.
Oh, you think there's going to be an overreaction?
Yeah,
Alabama goes up 10-3 with still the Tua possibility
get
hanging
more
over
points,
everything.
And then there's a chance that it tightens up if Tua gets hurt, because Tua's been nicked up.
Yeah, he has those ankles. The other thing was the left ankle and the right foot, the right ankle, an injury in that area. Generally, stepping forward, that's accuracy. Being able to step into your throws, you know, planting is power, hips and shoulder, whatever is power, but it's the accuracy, stepping into your throws and really staying on balance and on platform. So if accuracy goes, it could be a long day.
And also, if you are one of those individuals that wants to bet on a game after kickoff,
mm-hmm.
if by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, you could always take the other side, that whole thing. Check out mybookie.ag.
Oh, great call.
Yeah, it's the premier place to bet on all your favorite sports action, especially NFL and college football every weekend. You can join now. They'll double your first deposit. All you got to do is use the promo code SOLID to activate the offer. So it's mybookie.ag. Your promo code is SOLID, Dan. I wouldn't be telling folks to use it if I didn't think it was good.
Good.
I didn't think it was the best. So do the smart Whoa. Thing. If you're going to bet on football, bet with MyBookie. It's mybookie.ag. Promo code is SOLID. You play, you win, you get paid.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Let's move on. Let's talk about the 4 p.m. slot on Fox. It is Iowa. It is Wisconsin. It is the game every year that causes us to dig out of the archives the old YouTube video you put together.
The nature film. The Iowa-Wisconsin nature film for, I believe it's the Heartland Trophy?
Yes, I believe so. That is correct.
There's a brass bull involved, Ty. Mm. Wisconsin's won three in a row.
Three in a row.
I don't know if that affects how you pick this game, but this might. Iowa, for as crazy good as their defense has looked basically all year long, their offense has averaged fewer than one touchdown per game against the good teams that they've played in Michigan, Penn State, and Iowa State.
So what that tells me is, as I look at the point spread, which is 9.5, that tells me that I probably should go Wisconsin here.
Yeah, so we know what it takes to beat Wisconsin at this point, week 11. It takes speed and downfield passing or just being the Illinois fighting Illini. That's what it takes. Iowa is neither fast or great downfield in the passing game, for as much as I think we both admire Nate Stanley and the best of Nate Stanley. That's not them. That's not how they win games. And so I think even though we have downgraded Wisconsin a bit since that early start where people were freaking out, like, they're shutting out everybody. Oh, my God. Historic. I have it 21-10 Wisconsin.
I've got it 28-13 Wisconsin.
28-13. That's a lot of points to score against this Iowa defense. This is a very... And not only is the Iowa defense good, and your prediction is valid, but Iowa's defense is particularly good at stopping longer run plays.
They
are. Chunkier run plays.
They are.
And not that Wisconsin relies on that.
No, but that's a bread and butter thing for Wisconsin.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was hearkening back to the old game that we played probably last week. I don't know. We played every week. But yeah. How many points does Iowa need to score to win here against Wisconsin? And I think we agree that the answer is probably 20-24. They got to score more than 20.
Yeah.
They got
The weather's going to be fine. It'll be a little chilly, about 38-40, but we're not seeing the downpour stuff. Yeah.
No. So can Iowa get there? I don't think so. I think the Wisconsin defense is too much. I think they win. I think they cover. I think it's something like 28-13. Jack Cohn's been good enough as a passer here to give Wisconsin enough balance. And I'm sticking to my guns. 28-13. Wisconsin wins at home. They cover the 9.5.
You don't have faith in big game Brian Ferentz's offense?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
So we agree.
We agree.
We're agreeing a lot today, which I don't
like this. I don't like this at all.
And finally, in terms of our headliners here, we got a bunch of other games to get through, but 8 p.m. on Fox, the nightcap. It is Iowa State on the road in Norman, Oklahoma against the Sooners. Oklahoma is a 14.5 point favorite. Dan, of note here, since Matt Campbell arrived in Ames, the biggest margin of victory in this game, 10 points. Only 10 points by Oklahoma back in 2016 and last year, again in 2018. But you might remember 2 years ago, the big upset in Norman. Mm-hmm. Iowa State went on the road in 2017. They won 38-31. Do we think that Matt Campbell has a little bit of Lincoln Riley's number here?
First of all, put Joel Lanning's name on this matchup, please. Put his name on this matchup.
Fair, fair.
After his performance a little ways ago. I think Matt Campbell gets his team up for big games. I think there's almost like a little bit of Tom Herman to him.
A little bit of Tom Herman to him.
Maybe play down when you shouldn't, play up when you should. So Iowa State's good enough to hang around in this game. This is not...
I agree with that.
It's not a bulletproof Oklahoma defense, especially on the ground, where Iowa State has been inconsistent, but the best of Iowa State on the ground has been pretty impressive, more recently anyway. My problem is I don't know if the Clones have enough firepower to keep up in a shootout. And you could have said that about K-State. That game was in the Little Apple, though, so there is a little more juice there. And this one's in Norman. I think Iowa State in the red zone is good enough on defense to turn Oklahoma sixes into threes, to generate some field goals or field goal attempts. Ultimately, though, I think Oklahoma is good enough. And they sort of go as their running backs go. And we saw in that K-State game, it was sort of Jalen Hurts and a little bit of Beckmeyer syndrome, having to do it all himself. And I don't love that idea. I have this as a front door cover for Oklahoma.
A little bit of front door cover? Sorry, dogs. Yeah,
sorry, doggies. 41-24 Oklahoma, but perhaps it's 28-21, you know, 31-24 deep into the game. And then ultimately, it's just maybe some sort of explosion play at the end. Oklahoma coming off a bye week at home. I believe Oklahoma's coming off a bye week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go Boomer Sooner here, but I think it's going to be a fun one for a healthy chunk of it.
Oklahoma is ninth in the playoff rankings. And
yeah,
I think they are smart enough to know that they can't take any weeks off. I think Lincoln Riley looks at this game and says, if I can score 100, I'll try.
Mm-hmm.
They did have the week off to recover from the K-State loss. Oklahoma's going to win this game. My problem with it as it relates to the point spread, though, is that they're going to win this game by either 14 or 21 points. And it's 100% the kind of situation where the point spread comes down to the wire. And there's a garbage time touchdown that may or may not screw the whole thing up. So I want the points here. I'll take 14 with the little hook at the end. I think Oklahoma wins 38-24, but I don't like that point spread. So I'm going to go Iowa State in that respect.
Here's my problem, even though we celebrated him for an entire month, that would be Brocktober.
Yeah.
The end of the Oklahoma State game, where Brock Purdy, in a close game, down 7, threw 17 interceptions. Do you treat a performance like that like, well, everybody has a bad day? And like we've said before, don't judge somebody on their worst, don't judge somebody on their best. Everything in between is what matters. That was his worst day. Did happen relatively recently against a team that's probably not as good as Oklahoma. Does that color your opinion of him winning a close game on the road against
Oklahoma? No, because we've seen it before. No.
Well, we haven't really seen it from Brock Purdy against Oklahoma.
Maybe not, but no, I think he's a good enough player that it doesn't worry me too much.
Okay. I think we agree, but I guess we agree on the outcome of the game.
All right, some other quick notables that we do need to mention here. If we could travel back in time, Dan, if you could give me the sound for a second. 10:30 on Friday night on FS1. It's Washington at Oregon State. Washington's a 10-point road favorite. Now, of note here, and I do want to mention this, in our initial document, I did forget to label this game as being on a Friday night. So I appreciate you doing the responsible thing and attaching the movie art from Ice Cube's Friday, as well as the Rebecca Black headshot.
It's my privilege and honor.
Just to give it a nice little touch there and remind me. Mm-hmm. Also, Dan, this game starts at 3:30 a.m. London time. Are you going to stay up for this one?
Oh my gosh, no, absolutely not. It's solo dad Saturday. I'll be in bed by 8. I need everything I can get. So as it relates to this specific game, it is a short week road hangover spot for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Losing the way they did to Utah, going on the road, and it's not a long flight to Corvallis from Seattle. It's pretty short. I've actually done Eugene to Seattle, and it's actually pretty scary in the small planes that Alaska has. There is an opportunity for an all-time great kung fu cliche in the student becoming the master, Jonathan Smith and Chris Peterson. And certainly Washington's offense has not been the same since Jonathan Smith left. But Oregon State's defense is by far the worst thing in this game. But I cannot ignore the short week road and the hangover factor as well. So I have this as a field goal game for Washington.
Yeah.
I have this as like 34-31. I don't think Washington's as bad as they've been against the better teams on their schedule and Gallen Stanford. And I don't think Oregon State is quite there defensively to beat at least an okay Washington team. So They'll run a little bit on Washington because that's what you're able to do. They have two good running backs in Artavis Pierce and Jamar Jefferson. I hope everybody's healthy. I did not look up Oregon State's current health, but I think they're healthy.
Yeah, Oregon State's waiting
34-31 Washington.
Shamar Smith, Nashawn Wright, and Colby Taylor.
Per Don Best, I assume. The master.
Yeah, yeah. They're my home dog of the week, actually. Oregon State.
Will you watch this game? You don't sleep.
Home dog of the week.
No, I'm not watching this game, but... Short week, weird spot in Corvallis. The Beaver defense is capital B bad, but I don't know. They score points. I don't think Washington's all that great. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now. I don't think they win outright. That's a bridge too far, but can they cover 10 at home? Yeah, they can.
One of the weirder things that happens at Oregon State games, I assume you have not been to Corvallis.
No.
Okay. On big third down plays or big, they need a stop plays on defense, they pipe in the sound of a chainsaw, which almost doesn't make sense. I understand how it's congruent to a beaver in, you know, cutting wood, eating wood, whatever. But I feel like the chainsaw has replaced the beaver. So they're celebrating the technological advancement that's putting beavers out of work and creating dams. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's a little bit just a local trib for you.
That's a little bit of a deep cut for me, Dan, not going to lie.
No problem. What is your order from Yakko's, by the way?
My order from Yakko's?
Yeah, if you're going in there, you want a quick dog, what's your order?
I will usually get 2 to 3 Yakko dogs, depending how hungry I am.
Toppings?
It's usually just the Yakko dog, the hot dog, with the special sauce on top.
What is the special sauce?
It's sort of like a chili sauce.
Interesting. Like a thinner or a sludgier? And I say that lovingly. I love a good sludgy chili.
It's sort of in between, actually.
Okay.
A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Is it like a squiggle to it, or is it a spread?
Squiggle?
Yeah, like a mustard or ketchup squiggle.
No,
like, is
no
it
squiggle.
Thin enough for a squiggle?
No squiggle.
It is like it's ladled atop?
Yes, it is.
Okay, 2 or 3 Yakko's dogs. So I assume they're not super.
No, they're
huge.
Not gigantic. No.
Right. Okay. Okay. Next game.
3:30 ABC. USC at Arizona State. Arizona State, a 2-point favorite. Once a year, Dan, we gather to reflect upon Lane Kiffin getting fired on the tarmac.
Yes.
After
it's almost, 6 years now?
This one's a coin flip to me, this game. I'm going to go with ASU for two reasons. First off, the defense is pretty good. I don't think good enough to fully stop USC, but good enough to force turnovers and get Jaden Daniels a few more bites at the apple. And secondly, I think there's an opportunity here for Eno Benjamin to run the football and control some of that time of possession for ASU. I think it's ugly. I'm going to go 21-20 ASU. I'll take the points, even though there's only two of them.
Okay, who's favored? So it's ASU is favored.
Excuse me, ASU's favored by 2.
Right. So you think they'll win by 1, so you're going to take, you think it's a 1-point game. You feel confidently enough in USC winning or losing by a hair.
Sure.
Okay, that's reasonable enough. USC still beat up, and they're definitely in letdown, if not body blow mode. You can play the sound. And also, it's possible, I don't know if I'm fully there, but there's a potential bottom falling out of this USC season in play, right?
Yeah, I agree.
All we hear about is, will the new USC AD have permission to hire Urban Meyer? Will USC make a move sooner rather than later? Is James Franklin on the table? We saw James Franklin rumors of, is he a potential candidate for USC? I think it was Pete Thamel from Yahoo said he is who some people at USC, if it's not going to be Urban Meyer, who makes a lot of sense.
Interesting. Okay.
USC struggled with a similar Colorado team, I would say, on the road, in that they have the potential for offense, but there are definitely some deficiencies all over the field. That was just a couple weeks ago, and that's a beat up USC with that struggle. ASU weathered, they didn't do a great job, but they weathered the Wazoo air raid and came away with a win. I was more because of Wazoo's defense than anything, but still, they weathered it enough. I have ASU by 6. 31-25. Okay. I think it's a bad situational spot for the Trojans.
I agree. I do agree with that. Yeah.
I have ASU covering here.
All right. Rapid fire through 5 other games.
Yeah.
3:30 ACC Network. Wake Forest at Virginia Tech. Wake Forest, a 2.5-point road favorite, Dan.
Last time they played, Frank Beamer raised his hands in glory about going to an overtime period at 0-0. I believe that was a 6-3 double overtime thriller the last time they played. That's it. What, it's 2014, 2015, 2013. It's been years, plural years, since these two teams have played. I think it takes an offense to take down Wake, sort of takes a village. And I don't think, from what I saw from Virginia Tech last week,
no.
Even though they're at home, even though it's in Lane Stadium, the thing that I am worried about, though, I thought this line would be a little bigger.
It surprised me, too.
Worrisome lines you're supposed to steer into. But I can't justify a Virginia Tech offensive explosion because I think Wake's going to get there. So I have Wake by a touchdown after Virginia Tech last week let their potential signature season win slip away.
We agree. Also at 3:30, ESPN2, Louisville. At Miami. Miami's a 6-point favorite. This is another one where I thought the line was going to be different.
Okay.
And I think I like the Miami defense too much. I really like this line for the Canes. I thought it was going to be higher, so I'm taking Miami.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miami as well. So for similar reasons, it's a bit of a letdown spot after the Florida State win that got Florida State's coach fired, or at least was the final nail. Louisville just allows too much through the air. And I know Miami's been up and down offensively, relying on big plays, but they got him last week. And they've gone the past couple weeks. And so I think the Miami offensive line has improved. So I think just maybe that passing attack alone, because Louisville's defense is improved, but it's still not all that good. It's, you know, your daughter has an awful, awful boyfriend. They break up and she starts dating somebody new and not great, but it's better than the old guy. So Louisville has a ways to go. They're fun on offense, but give me Miami here.
3:30 ESPN. We've got K-State on the road at Texas. Texas is about a touchdown favorite here, Dan. That feels like a lot to me.
Why?
Feels like a lot to me because I think K-State does the fundamentals quite well. And they've been pretty adept at controlling the clock. Still not entirely sure that they're balanced enough on offense, but I feel like Chris Kleiman has been working all week in his fantasy factory after the Oklahoma win 2 weeks ago to try and come up with a game plan here for this Texas game. So I think Texas may win the game outright, but maybe like 34-30. I think it could be close.
Okay, so let's not judge Texas on their worst day, and they are getting healthier. I don't know exactly how healthier they'll be in the secondary, but this is not exactly a Kansas State team who should be able to throw a ton, but I guess we could have said that about Kansas. I have Texas close. They're coming off a bye week. They're at home. It's the second straight road game for Kansas State, however much you believe in that being an obstacle. Kansas State probably needs to win on the ground, and at least the ground is a place where Texas is not a disaster.
It's not
on
bad,
defense.
Right? It's not
no,
terrible.
It's fine. They're fine up front. The secondary has been just a mess. You can pick on them all day. So I'm going to go with Texas. I'm going to take the points, though. So I think we agree. I have Texas like 33-30.
Yeah, we agree. Okay. 7 p.m. ESPN. Mizzou at Georgia. Georgia, a 17-point favorite here, Dan. We've had this one circled for a long time.
Again, thoroughly erased the circle on Scantron Saturday.
Yeah, this is a game that we had highlighted a while back.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been a bit of an intriguing matchup for me. I think Georgia's way better than Mizzou. Let's get that out there. But
yeah,
this does feel like a weird game where somehow Mizzou covers the spread, keeps it close. Even though Georgia wins, it sort of is like a little bit damaging to the Dogs.
37-31 Wyoming, 21-14 Vanderbilt, 29-7 Kentucky. There is your road slate.
I know.
For Mizzou.
I know.
In 2019.
But yet, a couple weeks ago, you said, yeah, this is the game that they're going to play them tight.
I was a different guy a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Okay. So, potential letdown spot for Georgia. Mizzou, though, again, nightmare on the road. And this is a quote I hate to see. It was, I think it was Barry Odom. At least it was a Mizzou coach said, if we had to play tonight, it would not be Kelly Bryant out there. He's not ready.
That's
some version of that. That was a day and a half ago. And this is Mizzou on the road. I don't see it. I think even with it being a letdown spot, maybe Georgia starts slow like they're prone to do. I have it 34-13 Dogs.
And finally, 7 p.m. ESPN2, App State. App State lost a week ago Mm-hmm. They are on the road at South Carolina. The line is only 5 in favor of South Carolina, Dan.
Yeah.
This is an interesting matchup, isn't it?
Team that gave up 41 to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. App State plays a tough brand of football.
App State does play a tough brand of football. Their defense isn't necessarily, was it where it was, excuse me, under Scott Satterfield and his staff, but still fine, still pretty good. Yeah, if South Carolina wins this game, it'll be on the ground, and that's what I think happens here. App State coming off of a loss, going back out on the road. Yeah, I'm going to take South Carolina.
I got South Carolina by a field goal.
Oh, so you're going to take those points.
I'm taking the points, but I got
Carolina. Yeah, I think South Carolina wins by 7 late.
All right. That is all I have in my list, Dan. You got anything else?
Wyoming at Boise State. I know you like to ignore the Mountain West because you have an East Coast bias, but that should be quite fun. I think I have Boise here even after their slow start and surviving a shootout against San Jose State. Just a tough place to win. Ooh, a telemarketer from Wichita, Kansas is calling me right now. Otherwise, Ty, I have Duquesne, Bob Morris, Fighting Bobbies, both 4-0 in the Northeastern Conference. Okay. Kennesaw State, the Owls against the Campbell Camels.
Owls,
big South matchup. New Hampshire, 4-1 in the Colonial against James Madison, 5-0 in the Colonial. Mm. The not underrated, but I have ignored this logo for far too long, and they also happen to be good. But the UT Martin Skyhawks, have you ever seen the Skyhawk logo?
It's amazing.
It's an eagle, but the eagle has like those aviator goggles resting on its head with a cool wing situation on either side. Great logo. They're taking on Austin Peay. They're 4-1 in the Ohio Valley. UT Martin 5-1. And now, Ty, your week 11, yes, headliner, forget LSU Alabama, Yankee Stadium, Ty. You know this game is in Yankee Stadium,
I know,
right?
I know.
Princeton at 7-0, Dartmouth at 7-0, there is a line. I did find a site, 5 Dimes, I believe, does FCS lines. The Mouthies. Oh, I regret
that. That's weird.
Already regret it. 3.5-point favorites in what I'm calling, because Dartmouth is in New Hampshire and Princeton is in New Jersey, I'm calling it the Nooper Bowl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I workshop that name.
It's a little clunky.
I workshop, first of all, it's brilliant, and I spent more time on that than on any game preview.
Fair.
I'm going to take, there's something in the air in Dartmouth. There is something in the air, and they win on a Hail Mary last week. I love Princeton. I love that offense, but the Dartmouth defense, allowing 10 a game, give me the Mouthies. I stand by it.
Let's go Mouthies. I'll do it.
Double Mouthie. I regret that even more.
Yep.
on that note, please drop that pulsating, pounding, pure bliss. Big Stanky Drum 5.
All right, we got 3 games on the docket here.
I have lines for these, by the way.
Oh, okay. Starting at high noon. Go ahead, you read them off then.
All right, Holy Cross, the Crusaders at 3-0 in the Pat League, favored by nearly 2 touchdowns, 13 points over the Yetis of Lafayette at noon.
I go Yetis, I go Big John Burke. You know where I stand.
I'm going Yetis as well. The true big noon Saturday game. Lehigh at 3-1 at Bucknell.
Ooh.
1-2 in the Pat League. But it looks, I think Lehigh's, is it Lehigh? They're given 4. Yeah.
I'm going to go Lehigh minus the points. I don't usually like to take the road spot here.
Right.
But Lehigh's been playing pretty well the last couple weeks. So let's go. Tyler Monaco had a big week last week. Mm. Let's go Mountain Hawks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mountain Hawks, Engineers, whatever you got to call them. Fordham 1-2 at Colgate 1-3.
Colgate, I think it's won 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
2 in a row since not winning any at all for a good chunk of the season.
Well, they're 1-3 in the Pat League. So
1-3 in the Pat League, but I think 2 wins overall, and I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
I'm going to go Colgate here to shock the world at home.
The Bronx is the center of the college football universe, obviously, with Yankee Stadium hosting the Nooper Bowl. And yeah. Ty, I don't know if you noticed, I did put a Nooper Bowl sound into
our
sound files. It's okay. We can play it another week or play it in the recap. There's something about the Bronx. I'm going to take Fordham here. I'm going to take the Fordham Rams. And by the way, if you are going to the Nooper Bowl, La Morada for Mexican food.
La Morada?
Morada. La Morada. Really good Oaxacan food.
Oaxacan?
Oaxaca is an area. It's a state in Mexico. It's a very specific style. If you like moles, like we've talked about. No?
I do
any ingredients?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Tlayudas. Oh man, I wish that in an old Blue Apron spot you had to read off that you could make tlayudas, T-L-A-Y-U-D-A.
Great.
At home.
It's great. I love this.
Yeah, so I'm going in that direction. Also, Ty, before we stop, before we hit stop on the show, I'm actually going on The Lead, which is a terrific show that Wondery does. It's a daily sports show. They partnered with The Athletic, interviewing different writers based on the story of the day. So if it's a big, if it's a big day for the Lakers, they talk to the whoever's covering the Lakers for The Athletic. If it's a big day for the Denver Broncos, for whatever reason, they talk to the person covering the Broncos. And so I'm going on the show to talk about LSU, Alabama. So I figured let's get to know The Lead a little bit more before we go, since they do a terrific job doing a daily sports show.
Good
up
stuff.
Every morning of the week for your commute. Have a listen. And now, before we go on, very excited to take a nice look, take a dip into the pool of our friends at another Wondery show. And it's Kavitha Davidson and Anders Kelto, because I combined your names. But they host The Lead for both Wondery and The Athletic. And if you have not listened to The Lead, first of all, shame on you. You are doing a poor job with your digital audio consumption. Second of all, as you probably know, they do a daily sports show with The Athletic and Wondery. So every morning you wake up, you get on your way to work, and boom, there is an episode of The Lead. They're talking about the biggest sports stories and talking to experts at The Athletic. Not that they're not smart, but how can you know about everything in every single sport? You might as well lean on the experts. So whether it's the Lakers, the Broncos, or Florida State, or maybe the Minnesota Wild, I don't know. And I would like to know. So, Kavitha, Anders, thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much for having us, Dan.
What an intro.
Oh my gosh, I've been working on that all day. So I think I did the concept justice. And part of the reason that I'm having you on, beside that I'm just fans of the show, is also I'm appearing on the show to talk about LSU Alabama. So I figured we'd make this official, go both ways. Tell me about how The Lead works, how it operates.
Well, it is it's a heavy lift, but it's a lot of fun. And essentially, we just dive into sort of the biggest and the most fascinating sports stories of the day. And like you mentioned, we're hitting all sports and all kinds of stories. We tend to do a lot of profiles of really interesting athletes or people of note in the world of sports. But we're really just kind of curious about what's happening out there and trying to find surprising and compelling stories, and then to find the best people and the best sports reporters to help us tell them.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, if you follow what we do over at The Athletic, you know, when I came over to the podcast from being a sports business reporter for The Athletic, you know, we've got so many reporters who have just been covering these teams for years, who are on the ground there. And, you know, if something happens in New Orleans, we've got like four people that we can call on in New Orleans to come on and talk about that. And that's really cool to us.
So it actually does bring up a question. How do you, I know you're leaning on the experts, but you have to be able to ask smart questions. You have to know context to bring information out of these experts in various cities. How are you able to download like I have to know about dozens, if not like over 100 college football teams, and that's already a heavy lift. How do you jump across sports to fully understand context, to bring good information out of your interviewees?
Well, I'll answer that, because the answer often is Kavitha. She is an encyclopedia of sports information, and we do lean on her quite a bit. But, you know, it's also very much a team effort. We've got a team of producers who are amazing researchers who create prep sheets and outlines for us and prep us for interviews and talk through story ideas with us. And, it, you know, research is a big part of what we do.
Yeah. And I'm just going to jump in and say, and I appreciate that, Anders. Thank you. You know, like I've covered sports for 6 years now, and I'm a generalist, right? Like I've covered all sports. So I have a pretty good baseline knowledge of, you know, anything that we could talk about. But you know, without going as deep as these experts go, you know, that kind of sets the foundation for, you know, when we do these deep dives. And that also kind of helps for us that, you know, we do have this incredible staff of people who not all of them are sports fans. So they can kind of filter out, you know, the stuff when I get way too much into my heads. And I'm like, wait, you remember when this happened in 1987? Nobody else remembers that? I don't either, because I wasn't born.
But I would also just add real quickly that, you know, we both love sports. We're both very curious about sports, but we try to get out of the way of the story as much as possible. Like the show isn't about us. It's about the storytellers that we bring on, and it's about the stories themselves. So we're not out there to try and impress anyone or like validate ourselves with how much we know about sports. We're just there to try and help tell these really powerful stories.
Oh, we have completely different ideologies then, because I love knowing myself and taking some credit for everything I know.
Well, maybe we do
part
a little
of the core
of
my being.
Yeah.
My final question is, and I know, Kavitha, this is probably more appropriate to you. I think you're a bigger college football fan, but do you have strong LSU Alabama thoughts, you know, going into the game? Is there a part of the narrative, the storyline of the game that you're particularly interested in? Do you have a pick? Do you have a hot take? How are you landing with this, you know, matchup of the century?
Well, first of all, I think that we've bandied about the idea of the game of the century and how many times we have had the game of the century in the last 10th of a century.
It's
the best. I'm excited to see. First of all, is Tua playing? Do we have that confirmation?
He is supposed to play.
Okay.
He had a little procedure done, the tightrope procedure on his ankle, and supposedly will play. What percentage of fully healthy Tua he'll be, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, have you guys watched online videos of the tightrope procedure?
No.
I don't know if I want to recommend that you do it or not, but you will not be able to unsee it or unfeel it.
Do you guys have a pick? Do you have any strong thoughts?
I think it's going to be LSU's year, man. I mean,
okay.
They've lost for eight straight years. They finally have the team that they've been working towards for a number of seasons now. They've got the quarterback that they need to finally break the Nick Saban curse. And even though they're on the road, I don't know. I just think this is their year.
Didn't we do the calculation at some point in preparing for the two of your episode that we're running that like Nick Saban in the course of this rivalry is like 14-4 no matter which team he's coaching?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You'd be silly to bet against Nick Saban if you go by the odds, but I'm going to go against the odds.
Nick Saban and math get along quite well. That is the lesson here. All right. Kavitha, Anders, thank you very much for your time. And again, anywhere where podcasts can be downloaded and subscribed to, do that for The Lead from Wondery and The Athletic. Thanks again, you guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks so much, Dan.
All right, Dan. Cool. I like it.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Check out The Lead, another great Wondery show. We're happy to be part of the Wondery family and happy to have The Lead in our feed every morning. Good stuff.
Yeah. I love a good podcast as service. We're just like, oh, it's always up there for my commute. I love having that. It's part of the reason we do the Tues Cruise up every Tuesday, 6 a.m. Eastern, and every, you know, Thursday, 6 a.m. Eastern preview. So really like podcasting as a utility for your commute. So all in favor for sure.
Well, don't forget to check that out. And don't forget to check out our week 11 recap show. That'll be up on Sunday afternoon after all the action. As you are watching week 11 on this Scantron Saturday.
You're okay with this?
I like it. I like it a
lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
408 Verbal One. That's 408-837-2251. That's the Reverb line. You can also record your own voice on your own phone and send it via your own email to thereverbline@gmail.com. We're still piloting our little voice memo system.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun last week, hoping to get more concise messages.
Do we have a signal line? Is that a thing? Is there a solid verbal signal for encrypted privacy? Like if you want to just be like, hey, I just have a super huge crush.
I mean, if people have any scoops that they want to send us.
Oh, okay.
We can start a signal.
No, I was saying a signal for people just to share their secrets, but in an untraceable way.
I mean, we can do that. I don't
just
know.
Just like a late March show, we reveal Verballer's secrets.
All right.
I don't know.
I'll do it.
I just learned that Signal existed pretty recently.
I will start a Signal account for us.
Yes.
This is going to get weird.
Okay. I don't know why we'll use it, but we'll use it.
We'll figure something out. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
I'll do it as soon as we get off here.
Done.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for downloading the show. We will catch you all in a few days. Stay solid.
Peace.